be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said there was a judge in a certain town who feared neither God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, "Render a just decision for me against my adversary." For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, "While it's true that I neither fear God nor respect anyone, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me." The Lord said, "Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will then not God secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him night and day? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. As we continue our journey with the whole church during this year of faith, today we come to Jesus' haunting words at the end of the Gospel. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This question seems to be far more than a rhetorical device. Jesus asks this question because he's not convinced that when he comes, he's going to find faith. The test of faith, he indicates, is whether when he comes, he will find us persevering in prayer. If we're living by faith, we're persevering in prayer. If we're not persevering in prayer, we're not living by faith. So Jesus is saying, when he comes at the end of time, when he comes at the end of your life and mine, is he going to find us praying, uniting our life with him, uniting our work with him, uniting our mind with him, our heart with him, our family with him, our soul with him? Or is he going to find us apart from him? That's the big question. The most important question of all. Jesus asked the question because many of us do not pray like the importune woman, the widow, in today's gospel, who cried out night and day to have justice rendered for her by an unjust judge. We're not praying to an unjust judge, we're praying to a loving Father. But do we pray as insistently as she does? Or do we quit on prayer? Or are we minimalists in our prayer, which we think all God wants from us is a few Hail Marys and an Our Father and a Glory Be before we go to bed? Do we lose heart in our prayer? Or do we put our whole heart into that conversation with God? At noon in Rome today, as he spoke to the 50,000 people who had assembled in St. Peter's Square for his weekly Angelus prayer and address, Pope Francis asked the question, why does God want this? Why does he want us crying out to him day and night? Doesn't he already know our needs? And the Pope replied, "This is a good question. And it leads us to deepen a very important aspect of our faith. God invites us to pray with insistence, not because he doesn't know what we need, not because he doesn't listen to us the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, etc. On the contrary, he always hears us. He knows all of us with love. In our daily journey, especially in difficulties, in the fight against evil outside of ourselves and inside, the Lord's never far away. He's at our side. We fight with Him beside us. Our weapon is prayer, which makes us feel His presence alongside of us, His mercy, His help. But the fight against evil is hard and long. It requires patience and resistance. There's a struggle to carry on every day. But God is our ally. Faith in Him is our strength, and prayer is the expression of this faith. If the faith goes out, if prayer goes out, we will walk in darkness. We will be lost on the journey of life. Pope Francis is saying that the reason why Jesus tells us to pray perseveringly, to pray always, to cry out to God both day and night, is because we need God's help throughout the day and throughout the night. And if we're not in that living, loving exchange, not of words, that's not prayer, not of thoughts and ideas, that's not prayer. The purpose of prayer is an exchange of persons in which we open ourselves up to God's giving Himself to us, and we give of ourselves back. If we're not doing that throughout the day, then often we're going to trip and fall in that struggle against the evil outside of ourselves and the inside of ourselves. We can't win that battle on our own strength. We constantly need the Lord's help. As we pray in the words Jesus taught us in the Our Father, deliver us from evil. Just like the Israelites discovered with Moses' prayer in the first reading today, whenever his arms were uplifted in prayer, the Israelites had the upper hand against the much stronger armies of the Amalekites. But as soon as Moses began to weary, as soon as symbolically his hands began to fall down, that's when the Amalekites started to rout the Israelites. And all the Israelites got the lesson of the importance of prayer. So they brought a stone for Moses to sit on, and then Aaron and Hur held his hands up so that he would constantly be able to pray. And we can pray with our hands up, we can pray with our hands folded, we can pray with our hands on our side, but the lesson is, in the battles of life, we're either praying or we're losing. That's what we learn. And the battle's not a one-time skirmish. It's a lifelong war. But God wants us to win. He gives us His help. He's a loving Father who listens to us night and day. He wants to help us moment by moment. But we need to receive that gift. When our hearts grow weary and our hands fall, when we distance ourselves from that type of constant communion with the Lord that He wants with us, that's when we fall. Today we have the great joy at this Mass to celebrate Tony and Lucy Andrade's 25th anniversary of their wedding. And what I've always noticed with young couples today particularly is they constantly want to stay in contact. They're texting each other throughout the day. They're calling on their cell phones. They're able to do things that perhaps couples in former generations didn't have the technology to do as easily. But because they love each other, they want to stay in constant contact. That's exactly what God's asking of us in the spousal covenant, in the marriage He formed with us. And our constant prayer is simply a response of love and help when throughout the day we don't send a text message to God, but we open our hearts to what He's saying to us and what we need to say in response. Just like a marathon runner, if we hope to pray with perseverance, we need to train. We actually need to pray perseveringly each day. That means that we need to set times for prayer each day, and not just pray when we feel like it. Because if a marathon runner just trains when he feels like it, he's not going to make it past Heartbreak Hill. It's the same thing for us. We need to make that time of prayer. It's the most important appointment we have on the calendar each day. We're never going to pray always as Jesus calls us to, unless we're praying at fixed times each day. St. Jose Maria, whose whole mission given to him by God was to help lay people become saints in ordinary life, said that these fixed times of prayer are like the work we do to build a fire in a fireplace or a fire pit. Takes a lot of work to get the fire started. But once the fire's burning, all you need to do to keep the fire going is every once in a while put another log on the fire. That the set time of prayer, hopefully in the morning, hopefully before we do anything else, is like building that fire, and the fire gets burning. And then over the course of the rest of the day, to keep that fire of love going between us and God, all some of the times we need to do is short little aspirations, short little turns of our mind to God, where we say a prayer like, "Stay with me, Lord," which is one of my favorites. "Help me, Lord." We might say a prayer like the Angelus. We might say Hail Mary at the beginning of every hour to consecrate that hour to God. There are lots of ways to do it. But once we start by getting that fire going, it's easy to keep it going. But if we're not setting a clear time for prayer, it's going to be very hard to be ignited later on with simple, short, little bursts of prayer. An Our Father, three Hail Marys, and a Glory Be is not going to ignite us. We need more time to hear God and to speak back. In order to pray with perseverance, we need to take advantage of various means that God gives us, in which He wants to train us to learn how to pray this way. First means He gives us, we hear about in today's second reading. St. Paul writes to St. Timothy about the importance of sacred scripture. He says, "From infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are capable of giving you wisdom for salvation through Christ Jesus." He says, "All scripture is inspired by God. It teaches us, it refutes us, it corrects us, it trains us in holiness, so that we might be equipped for every good work, so that we're able to do it together with God." The Word of God, we said in the Alleluia verse, is living and effective. It raises up within us reflections and thoughts of the heart and helps us to see how our thoughts and our hearts correspond to God. We're never going to persevere in prayer if we're not persevering in learning how to pray according to the sacred scriptures. And I think one of the great crises for Catholics today is somewhere along the line, Catholics have gotten the message that they don't need to know the Bible as well as Protestants know the Bible. That scripture study and prayer with sacred scripture really isn't important for us. It's crucial. We're not going to persevere unless we receive this training that God gives us. Second means we focus on in this month of October, which is dedicated to the Holy Rosary. And the Holy Rosary is an incredible tool to teach us perseverance in prayer. What is the Rosary if not a prayer of perseverance? Not only praying 53 Hail Marys, but each week meditating anew on the same mystery, seeking to penetrate their depths, to imitate what they contain and obtain what they promise. It teaches us to persevere. When someone prays the Rosary every day, some days we feel like it, other days we absolutely don't feel like it. But if we pray it as well as we can, in season or out of season, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, for riches, for poorer, that's when we learn how to persevere in prayer. That we pray not just when our emotions are making it easy, but we pray because it's the most important thing we do. The Mass is the third means God gives us to persevere in prayer. So we pray in Eucharistic prayer number 3, "From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, the Church offers to God the Father what Jesus Himself offered from the Last Supper and the cross." The Mass is the great persevering prayer of Christ and us as bride, the Church. That's why it always strikes me as totally bizarre when some Catholics think that the best Mass is the quickest Mass. Because if they can't even persevere and pray in the Mass, then they're almost never going to persevere in making their life a Mass, in which they're receiving God's help and giving themselves as a living and holy sacrifice together with Jesus' sacrifice to the Father. The needs of loved ones are another training ground of prayer. You know, a lot of the times when people in our family suffer, when breaks our hearts to see them with a disease or to see them living in a wayward way, we can often cry out to God for help. And sometimes we need to cry out for years. And what's happening in that? Doesn't God hear our prayers? Doesn't He love our loved ones more than we do? Of course He does. Why doesn't He answer that prayer so fast? One, because especially when it requires conversion in somebody else, they've always got to freely respond. But many times, it's because God wants us to become holy through this persevering prayer. The greatest witness of this, it's one of the most beautiful saints who ever lived, Saint Monica, who was the mother of the great Saint Augustine, who died in 430. Saint Monica married a pagan husband named Patrick. She prayed for 17 years for his conversion. He was verbally abusive. He was degrading to his wife, but she never gave up praying for him. And then after 17 years, won over by her always responding to his evil words with prayer and goodness, he was won over for the faith. He was baptized and became a Catholic. Little did they know at the time that he would die within a year. But it was because of her prayers and that transformed her to be forgiving of her husband that her husband was eventually converted. But that was just the beginning for Monica. As soon as the father died, Augustine, her son, started to lose it. He was really upset about why God would take his dad. And he went away, he was brilliant, to school, to rhetoric school. He had a child out of wedlock as a teenager. Started shacking up with his concubine. Started going through all the philosophical and theological heresies, the false truths of the day. And Monica suffered that all. When Augustine would come home, he would use his incredible intelligence to try to mock his mother. He would blaspheme so much that she had to say, if you continue to do that, you're not going to be able to stay in my house. She would go to churches and just pour out her prayers in torrents of tears. There was one holy bishop who saw her there one day praying. Came over to her, put his arm on her shoulder and said, "Ma'am, the object of so many tears will surely not perish. That your prayers made in your body language of tears are going to work. Don't lose hope." But it took 15 years of praying for a son, 32 years of praying for both of them combined before Augustine decided to convert, become a Christian, and then later become a monk, and then a priest, and then a bishop, and then one of the greatest saints who has ever lived, whose writings still encourage us and nourish us to this day. But I like to say it was because of those 32 years of prayer that we call her Saint Monica. And we celebrate her feast on August 27th, because if she had married a good Catholic man, if her son never weighed on her heart by his wanderings, she would have never had to pray that much that long. And because she had those problems, God was able to make her a hero of prayer, a true hero of faith. I remember a story a religious sister told me. She has been blessed by God with the ability to work in His name and for His glory certain physical miracles through her prayers. Her name's Sister Breach McKenna. She's written some books about this. But there was one family that had a sick child, and they asked her to come and pray. And she did. And after the prayer, she told the family, "Just keep on praying. Do you think the Lord heard us?" they asked her. She said, "Surely He has heard us. But let's ask that His will be done no matter what. But He has heard us. Don't lose hope." And after she left, the child got worse. The child continued to get worse. Eventually, the child was into a coma. They continued to pray, though, because the child was still alive. It took 2.5 years of prayer, but finally the child gradually got better and was totally restored to health. And then they called Sister Breege and said, "Just wanted to let you the good news, our baby's better. It took a long time, but our baby's better." Sister Breege asked the question, "Why do you think God didn't hear your prayer right off the bat? If God was going to grant that miracle of saving your baby's life, why didn't He do it right off the bat?" And the mom and the dad were on the phone on the other side of the line. And they said with tears, "Because if He had heard it right away, a greater miracle wouldn't have happened in our family. Basically, all our extended family members have gotten to praying anew. We pray these big family rosaries. Everybody, when they come to visit her, it's like a monastic cell. We're always praying for her. And because God waited to answer that prayer, because we had to persevere in prayer, our family is so much stronger than it ever was 3 years ago." The problems of our loved ones are an opportunity to train us in persevering prayer. Fourth, our daily work is a training ground. To pray always doesn't mean we're always in church on our knees, but it means that we're called to turn all we do into a prayer, into an exchange of persons with God, when we receive His help and unite our entire life to Him. That means, because most of us are spending 8 hours at least of work a day, or 8 hours of study a day, that means if we're going to pray always, we have to learn how to unite our work or our study or our chores or anything else we're doing to God. How do we do that? How do we pray our work? How do we pray our studies? By offering them to God. By making that a part of the sacrifice, we unite to His work at the Mass. Jesus, don't forget, saved us not just by what He did on Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. Jesus saved us not just by His 3 years of public ministry, preaching, healing, miracles, etc. Jesus healed us and saved us by His entire life. And the vast majority of His life was spent as a carpenter in Nazareth. There, Jesus was praying His work. There, Jesus was uniting all that He was doing to the Father's mission that He had given Him. And that teaches us, likewise, how to pray our work. At a practical level, what would I recommend to learn how to pray our work better? Start every hour of work off with a prayer. You can say it in your own words. You can say a Hail Mary. You can do whatever you want for that prayer, but to call to mind that God wants to be with you that hour. And then what always helps me is I always offer it for someone, because I pray it much better when I know someone else is counting on my prayers. When people ask me to pray for them, I offer the various hours of the day for them. When I don't have someone who's mentioned prayers in the previous day, I go straight into our bulletin. I take that block of prayers of those who have requested prayers through our bulletin, and I just start going one name at a time by hour, just to be able to pray that work. And it helps. And we work so much better when we work together with the Lord. If we've got a tough boss, we can respond so much more charitably if we're praying that hour. If we've got gossipers at work, we can so much more easily avoid going down into that sewer if we're united to the Lord. When we're united to the Lord, we want to do the best job that we can. Even if someone isn't standing over us and saying, "Great job," we know that that's what the Lord is seeing. Likewise, in our studies, we offer to the Lord because the Lord's given us our brain, and He wants us to use it for His glory. Just like the woman never stopped asking the judge for justice in the gospel, so we need constantly to be giving the hours of our day to the Lord who gave them first to us. And the last training ground we'll talk about today for persevering prayer is vocations. On this World Mission Sunday, we need to remember to pray perseveringly for the missions. It's highly significant that Jesus said to us, "The harvest is abundant and the laborers are few. So pray to the master of the harvest to send laborers for his harvest." He said that all in the present tense because he knew that throughout history there was always going to be a need for laborers in his vineyard. He was always going to need people to share in his mission. So we need to constantly pray for that. Why are there so many problems in the world? Why is there still a huge need for mission work? Because we haven't prayed enough. Why are there so many Catholics in our city who don't practice the faith? Because we haven't prayed enough for them to be able to come back. There are two patrons of the missions. One is the great missionary Saint Francis Xavier, who brought the faith to India and then to Japan and died bringing it to China. But the other patroness is the saint in the corner over there, Saint Therese Lisieux, who died at 24, and she spent her life in a cloistered Carmel in France. She's a co-patroness of the mission precisely because while she was there, she prayed without ceasing for all those who were bringing the faith to others. For us, we're called to do a little bit of both. We're called to bring the faith to others, and we're called to pray for all those bringing the faith to others. To pray with perseverance for all those who are doing the work of spreading the faith. Pope Francis, very powerfully, as soon as he began his pontificate, bent over and begged all of us to pray for him. "Please pray for me every day. I need your prayers as I try to work hard and well for the Lord." But we see in that gospel that is immediately after Jesus told all the disciples to pray to the harvest masters for laborers in his vineyard, he then called 12 of them to be his apostles. That when we're praying for the laborers, a lot of the times the Lord is using those prayers as a holy boomerang, because we're essentially praying for ourselves as we're called to go out and proclaim our faith by words and by witness. Here at church, we remember that for us to pray unceasingly, we often need help. We need the help of others, and we need to give help to others, which is why it's so important for us to come together each Sunday to pray as a family, because we can help each other persevere. Moses had the help of Aaron and Hur to hold his hands up. We need to look around ourselves here and see those whose hands we're supposed to hold up in prayer, whose hearts we're called to catalyze, to go upward toward God. We need to see that their task is to help us never to lose heart either. It's not enough, in other words, for us to pray alone, because that would be a little bit like hiking up Mount Washington alone. We'd have a much better chance to get to the summit if we're hiking with someone else or with a whole group. That's why we pray together. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This year of faith is a grace-filled opportunity for us to increase our prayer, to persevere in our prayerful union with God so that we may persevere in the battle for God and against evil. We ask the Lord to help us to pray with living faith today so that when He comes on this altar, He may find us full of faith, ready to persevere in a prayerful union with Him through all the ups and the downs of life until we come to that place where we hope to pray perseveringly forever in heaven. The great way to be found prayerful when the Son of Man comes is to be praying each moment. God wants to give us that grace. The Father is always listening when we cry out day and night. Let's receive His help and pray like the woman today to a Father who never ceases to give Himself in answer to our prayers. Praise be Jesus Christ.